Y'all ready for this?
Hey, it's funky enough. That's all I got to say. Just like the song says there, we're going to dive into the NFL controversy. That's what I should have played, Trev. Controversy. You should have told me, man. Talking Sorry. About the Philadelphia Eagles will not or did not attend, I should say, the ceremony at the White House to honor their Super Bowl victory. And who had a tantrum? President Trump, 45, just had a tantrum. He couldn't leave it alone. Okay? He was upset. Out of 53 people on the active roster, maybe three people wanted to go. If that, and the coach and the owner, you know, Trump, he just continues to try to fight this thing with the NFL. And as I mentioned before, I don't agree with the players protesting in uniform, representing their teams. However, I would not, if I were a player, I would not go to the White House because of what Trump stands for, his bad behavior, who he's for, and his policies. So there's a whole host of reasons that I would not go to the White House. So I do not blame the Philadelphia Eagles for not attending. And you know, fellas, if you want to add anything to this particular story, the mic is yours.
Well, I think it's just so controversial because a couple different things. First thing is Philadelphia didn't have one player kneel during the national anthem, and he somehow switched his statement to address, put that in there. So I think getting all the facts are important. When you get all the facts, you wouldn't put something like that out there. And players have their own choice what they want to do. And maybe going to visit the president isn't high up on their list these days. And then there might be some that's still high.
And again, I think if you even take the national anthem out of it, they wouldn't have attended. It wasn't about the national anthem that they did not attend. They are not supporters of Donald Trump. And, you know, they do not like what he stands for. They do not like his childish behavior, his policies, as I indicated. So, but, you know, he always takes these types of situations and twist them and try to make it worse. It's just childish behavior. And again, if anyone else wants to jump in, you know, please do so. If not, we'll move on. In the NFL, sad. Go ahead.
Well, kneeling is what started all this. But Tim Tebow was kneeling 6-7 years ago, and it wasn't a controversy. Now, a few years after that, it's a big controversy. So,
was he kneeling during the national anthem?
Yeah, because he was praying.
Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, there's a time and place for everything. You know, you shouldn't be praying during the national anthem.
Well, what about running around with your hat on and going get a beer during the national anthem? Is that unpatriotic? I'm just asking. I don't drink.
You say you don't drink. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy with this particular subject.
It was a positive thing that he was doing. He was kneeling, saying a prayer, and they called it the Tebow. People would get down and, like, do it. When kids would score a touchdown, It would do his little pose, say a little prayer. I don't think that, I mean, it was real positive when he did it. And then it was taken a little bit differently when other people did it. So
yeah, I did not realize it was during the national anthem, though.
Yeah.
So that definitely should have been addressed, if you ask me, because like I said, I believe there's a time and place for everything, but where the hypocrisy comes in is where people are at the refreshment stands, the national anthem is played, they don't worry about stopping what they're doing and staying at attention, and even though they hear it, they feel as though I'm not in the bowl of the stadium. So I'm fine, because Trump even has a problem with the new policy. The new NFL policy says that if you're on the field, you should stand. But if you don't want to stand, stay in the locker room. Right. So Trump came out and tweeted that he didn't like that as well, that everybody should be on the field. So this is something that he's not going to let go. This will be a continued fight. For how long? I don't know. It might be hopefully
three
for the
more years.
Hopefully for the next year. Hopefully we could impeach him somehow. Well, so if not, hopefully he won't be reelected.
Well, the reason that the second thing started was to put some light on police brutality and a couple other things that were happening. So it was a positive reason that he started kneeling.
And again, I just believe there's a time and place for everything. I disagree with that 100% because I have businesses and I would not let anyone come into my business with a social issue that means a whole lot to them but might not be on my agenda to address, and I'm losing $50 million. Oh, I guarantee you exactly. That would not happen.
If this all could have been stopped by the San Francisco 49ers coach when it first happened, or maybe the owner, but the 49ers could have taken care of it and it would never have become an issue.
How?
Just like Kevin said, an employee relationship. Hey, we don't do this, and you know, you're our employee, and we don't like our employees doing that.
Yeah, so, they could change the handbook.
Yeah. Well, whatever. The 49ers could have taken care of this before it ever became an issue.
And I know. And
frankly, it probably elected Trump president.
All right, I'm grabbing Kev's mic. Kev said, Trevor, you know, when you have something to say, you always grab somebody's mic. So this time I'm grabbing the mic. Gentlemen, we got to add some fire to this because you guys are skirting the issue. And what you're skirting is this. You cannot hold a professional player. I don't care if it's hockey. I don't care if it's football, basketball, an athlete. You cannot hold them to one standard one day and another standard another day. Athletes, Colin Kaepernick, took a knee because he was fighting, setting up the platform for people talking about police brutality amongst black folks. Let's put it out there, against black people, minorities, black, Latino, you're being manhandled by police. That's what Colin Kaepernick was saying. He's just saying, people pay attention. That's all he was saying. So my impression on this is, and my opinion is, if it wasn't a black man with an afro taking a knee looking strong in front of millions of people, it would not be a problem. I preface that with this. These athletes, Charles Barkley made reference to it a long time ago. Charles Barkley came out of his face and said, I am not a role model. We as fans who follow sports, it could even be golf. Yes, you are, because you're 24/7. We're watching you and our kids are looking up to you. Mind you, the key to this is 24/7. Now, Kevin is an Army vet. I respect Kev. I appreciate Kev. Love Kev to death. We become close friends. I disagree with him on this protest because athletes aren't held to the same standard as me as a normal person going to a 9-to-5. Athletes are held to a higher standard because they're in front of the camera. They are looked at 24/7. Rock, you're a golfer. If you make it to a Tiger Woods level, you're being watched 24/7, no matter what you do. Coach.
Yeah, but in life, though, I see myself as a role model.
But you're different, okay? Because, like I said, I prefaced that by saying Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model. Okay, but you take it and you say, I'm a role model. And, coach, when you're coaching these kids and when you played ball, you know what it's like being a professional life. You know, even though you say you have downtime, you don't have downtime because you're being watched. And you too, Mark. You followed the ABA. You wrote your book on the Pittsburgh Pipers. You know these athletes were covered 24/7. My point is this. There is no perfect time for an athlete to take a stance because the platform that they have is their life. The owners don't have to take a stance. Okay? Now, I'm coming in, like Kev said, I'm messing up your money. You're the owner. You disagree. I understand that. But me as an athlete, one minute you want me to be one way, another minute you want me another way. You're not paying me 24/7. You're only paying me the time that I'm playing on the field and the time that I'm practicing. But yet you want to hold me to another standard when I get my downtime.
But what Kevin is saying, you're taking that during my time when you're in my uniform. That's the difference.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is now, and even let's look at the NFL. Now with the NFL, you, Rock, if you're an NFL player, or you, Coach, if you're an NFL player, and you, Mark, if you're an NFL player, and even Kevin, you don't have your time anymore. Look at the way the NFL is set up. You don't have your time anymore. It's not your time. Warren Sapp made a comment years ago. Remember when they got on him about taking off his helmet?
Yeah.
The NFL said, no, you cannot take off your helmet. It's not about you. It's about the NFL. So now if you, the NFL, are going to stand up and take that stance, you got to take what comes with that territory.
But again, he was still in uniform.
He was in.
I kind of agree but disagree. Like Kevin is saying, is if I'm paying you and you're at a game, don't take time away from what may take away from money. The platform that you have could be at another venue. At another venue, you get the brothers together,
right,
and you express your platform. NFL, NBA, high level. And to that being a role model, we as especially black men got to see ourselves as role models 100% of the time, because you got young kids looking at you not knowing that your failure may lead to their failures, which may lead to their death. So I disagree with Barkley when he says I'm not a role model, because we as especially black men got to be role models in our communities at all times, at all walks.
Yeah. And I have this argument all the time, you know, with my brother Anthony, my cousin Ronnie, and many other people. And I realize that I'm in the minority, and I'm okay with that. But the thing about it is, another thing I wanted to mention, the NFL has been aware of this for quite some time, and it should be their decision if they want to address the issue or not. It shouldn't be forced upon them. And I'm for combating these or addressing the issues when it comes to social injustices. I would just like to do it in a different way. I think there's a more effective way of doing it. And I hear this platform all the time, this platform argument that they need to use their platform. Well, their platform when they have the uniform on is not their platform. That's the NFL's platform.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of people get it wrong. It is not their platform. Okay, when they take that uniform off, they can do whatever they want to do. And I would like to add, a lot of people don't realize this. In March, the NFL made a decision to contribute $90 million to this cause. $90 million.
I think it went up over $100 million.
Even it might have since March. Yeah. So it's not as though the NFL is sitting back and not doing anything about it. But what I really don't like about it with the protests, it's not anything that the NFL did to cause this issue, okay? The NFL isn't out there killing our people, okay? Now, I would be the first one to say that the players need to protest if the NFL is not treating the players the right way, if they're abusing the players, or if there's some other type of grievance that's going on with the operation of the NFL where the players think it needs to be addressed. That's when you protest against your employer. But you don't bring stuff in from the outside and throw it on them and cause them to lose money for something that they had nothing to do with whatsoever. Now, it'd be nice for them to help, and that's what they're doing with the money that I talked about. So I just think it's not the right platform, but we all, if you play football or not, we all need to be part of the solution.
Yep.
And just because I'm sitting here saying I don't believe that the protest should be allowed in the NFL, I'm still for finding a solution to the injustices that is in our society, more specifically for our people, for black people, because it's been going on for too long. And I also wanted to point out, I heard someone on CNN, I forget the young brother's name, in his young, early 30s, Trev, maybe you could help me out. Bakari. He mentioned that it's very similar to Woolworths in North Carolina. No, it is not. Mm-hmm. The sit-in in Woolworth was all about them not allowing us to eat in their locations and their facilities. That's when you protest against those business owners, when they're doing something that is not right. The NFL needs to be a partner with us with this situation. Again, if they choose to do so, and they have. So I think they're taking the right approach. But enough for that. I do want to get to the sad news in the NFL this week. Dwight Clark, the former receiver of the San Francisco 49ers, passed away on Monday after a battle with ALS. He was 61 years old. He played 9 seasons with 2 Super Bowl rings and was best known for one of the most iconic plays in NFL history, which is known as the catch. It helped the 49ers beat the Dallas Cowboys in the 1981 NFC Championship game. We send our condolences and prayers to Dwight Clark's family and other loved ones. Dwight Clark, he was a heck of a player. Of course, as I indicated with the catch, one of the greatest plays in NFL history, and it helps that it was against the Cowboys. So right now, organized team activities are occurring across the league. This time is mandatory. Previously, it was optional. So you have people like Ben Roethlisberger, who's in camp for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tom Brady. He's in camp. He's at organized team activities. So a lot of commotion is being made with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick. That's who I call him. He's always looking for a way to cheat. Belichick. So I'm not sure if you all have any comments on the organized team activities.
You mean Big Ben not being there?
No, he's there now because it's mandatory.
Okay.
He wasn't gotcha. There for optional.
Yeah, our running back's not there.
Le'Veon Bell.
Again.
Yeah.
Right, and that was to be expected. And then you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we had a couple injuries, so we have a couple people who will miss the season already. Mm. Offensive lineman Gerald Hawkins and tight end Jake McGee are both out for the season. So you hate to hear that.
So early.
Yeah, so early, even before training camp. But the silver lining to that is if something were to happen like this, which it did, it's good that it happened early so you could prepare. I mean, Gerald Hawkins was a backup offensive tackle, and we just lost one of the offensive tackles to Cleveland. So moves are being made now to backfill those positions. I know Bryce Harris was brought in, as well as tight end Ryan Malik. So, again, from an NFL standpoint, it never There's never a dull day, even during the off season. With the NFL. So,
well, hopefully, some of our rookies could get in there and learn the system, and be able to contribute. This is such a big transition from college to the pros. You could be the best player in college. When you get to the pros, the system, the scheme's a little bit different. So this gives them a chance to get into their playbook and kind of learn what's going on, particularly who's going to call the defensive plays since our linebacker's still out. So somebody got to come in and be the quarterback on the defense and call the defenses. So
hopefully
somebody's getting practice doing that, making sure everybody's in the right spot. That's what I think. It's so nice about them having these OTAs. They get a chance to improve as a team, and then you can teach and learn film session. So hopefully it'll give one of those young linebackers enough opportunity to learn what's going on.
So that, for instance, the Jacksonville Jaguars don't score 45 points against them. Yeah.
That would be nice. That would be nice. We have to get some defensive pressure on that quarterback. We didn't have much pressure on the quarterback at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think it's good, too, for someone like Joe Hayden, the cornerback that we picked up right before the season, didn't have a chance to have OTAs with the Steelers. Right. So hopefully the secondary will work a lot better by him having a four-year
when you come into a new system, just picking up, you can be an NFL player for 10 years, but picking up their scheme, the way they do things, do they bump, do they play them to the inside, do they do this, they got different signals, like you have to make a split second adjustment, and this is a great time for them to learn all those things.
Okay, so I want to transition, guys, to tennis. The French Open is going on right now, and I was very disappointed for many reasons. Another comeback fell short. Serena Williams had to withdraw from the French Open. She actually had a number of good rounds. Well, I'm thinking of golf. a number of good matches since she's been back. But then she got injured. I think it was a pectoral muscle was the injury, and she had to withdraw.
So that's one of the things with all sports. If you stay healthy,
and she's 36 years old and just had a baby.
But then when you pick up an injury, especially when you're a little older, it takes longer to recover. It's taken Tiger a couple years with all his back surgeries and everything. So no matter what sport, the injury is hard to come back from.
And again, tennis is one of those global sports.
Mm-hmm.
You compete against everybody across the globe, and you know, it's very good competition. And as I indicated here, Serena is 36 years old and is really beyond time that we start looking for who's the next person that's going to replace, you know, Serena Williams or the Williams sisters. And I'm happy to see that.
So you're saying a black tennis player.
A black tennis player, okay. Yes. Okay. So we could be included in tennis. I think that's very important. So we've been making progress, and, you know, we want to continue that progress. And I think there's a couple tennis players that actually – is in position to do that. One is Sloan Stephens, who is going to the semifinals. And not only is she going to the semifinals, she's also the number 10 seed in the tournament as well. She won the U.S. Open last year. So it's good to see that she's on pace to actually have an opportunity to win this year as well. So I'm not sure if you all are familiar with Sloane Stephens.
Yeah, I'm familiar with her. And one of the things that holds people back is the grassroots. There's not a lot of girls playing tennis in the inner city. So if you don't get them early, it's hard to develop them late. It's not a lot of kids doing a lot of sports. There's kids not doing baseball anymore.
Right.
We don't have baseball. So yeah. As football and basketball becomes more popular, it's taking kids away from some of the alternative sports. I wish the kids would play everything like we did when we were younger. But now people are specializing in a certain sport. They don't even attempt to play. Uh-huh. So you don't have as many people to choose from. I think the best boxers now are linebackers in the NFL. They don't even box.
Get some hockey players.
So like I said, Shalom Stevens is going to the semifinals, and she's playing against possibly another black tennis player, Madison Keys. Now, Madison Keys is in the semifinals, but I say possibly she's a black player because in the article that I read, she kind of said, well, you know, I'm of mixed race, and I don't really consider myself black. So I don't know. I guess if she says she's not, she's not. But so I don't know if it's one and a half or what you would call it. Help me out, Rock.
Help you out?
Help me out.
Well, I think at one
time. Before we go to break here.
I think at one time Tiger had that issue, and I shared with someone, let him do something with a hood on and drive down the street. He will see that he is considered black. Same way with Simone, or not Simone, the other young
Madison
lady,
Keys.
Madison Keys.
So hold your point right there. We're going to pick it up on the other end. We're going to finish up the French Open, and we're going to talk about the men's side as well. And I save one of our best subjects for last. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball and the Pittsburgh Pirates. See you on the other end.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
And that's the way it is. All right, we are back talking some tennis, French Open, talking Madison Keys, talking Sloane Stephens, semifinals. We were talking about the identity of Madison Keys. She, one report that I read, and, you know, it's totally up to you what you want to call yourself, and I guess we have to follow. You know, it would be nice to say, you know, we have two black women tennis players in the French Open semifinals, but I'm stumbled a little bit. And Rock, you were making a comment.
I was making a comment that in my mind, if you're really a person of color or your skin is a certain tone, like Vijay Singh will never consider himself being black, even though he is obviously a person of color. Tiger Woods at one time had an issue when someone called him black. He said, I'm not black. I'm all people because I got a United Nations in my blood. But the reality of it is, if you're black, you're black. I mean, one way you can find out if you're really black or you're not is just put a hood on and just kind of travel down the street and see if you can make it through some type of situation.
And that's normally what happens when people get in trouble.
Yeah.
They always want to play that black card.
Yeah.
So makes things really interesting. Now, Madison Keys has a white mother and a black father. And she was the first American woman to crack the top 10 in the WTA, the World Tennis Association rankings, since Serena Williams broke through in 1999. And she actually played Shalom Stevens in the 2017 U.S. Open in New York. And Shalom Stevens actually won that particular tournament. So, again, it would be nice to say we had two in there. But I have to go based off of what she's saying. And it's funny how people actually view themselves, because we had a president who was a mixed race, President Obama, pretty much the same situation, and he never denied his blackness.
Right.
And like you said, Rock, Tiger Woods, the same situation, and, you know, he wasn't owning up to it as well. So we have one black women's tennis player, and we have Madison Keys. Let's just put it that way. But I really do hope Shalom Stevens win. And I say that because I've been following her for quite some time, and I really do think that she's the next coming of Serena Williams. She won't be as good. There's no way. Because I believe Serena Williams was the best women's tennis player of all time. And I know she still has work to do, but she's 36 years old. And I think, Mark, you raised the question regarding who would win first. Would it be Tiger or would it be Serena Williams? I'm going with Tiger.
Well, we were talking about it. Rock thinks that Tiger's going to win a major and a regular tournament next year.
Next year.
However, Serena probably has a just going week to week. I guess Serena has a better chance. Do you agree? Week to week.
I agree. I agree that the field or the competition is not as great in tennis as it is in golf.
It's easier to dominate too.
Correct.
Right?
Although Tiger dominated for about 10 years in golf.
Darrell, what you think? Which one would you pick?
I'm going with tennis.
You're going with tennis.
I think she'll recover from her injury, and she wins about 3-4 times a year, so I know she can get one.
And I think I can say this, too, from a male-female perspective. I'm not trying to get myself in trouble, but I do that at times, too. But there's a difference when we talk about men and women playing sports once you start to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the mother has probably a lot more responsibility as far as taking care of the child. Of course, we do our part, but
and the body healing back.
Right, the body and everything.
So what are
else.
You saying? How's that troubling?
I'm saying, you know, once you start making comparison male and female, you got to watch yourself.
No matter what you say.
Exactly. You got to watch yourself. So you take someone like Tiger, his kids are older. I'm not sure how much time they're spending with him versus a Serena Williams who has a newborn.
Right.
You know, that's a big difference, and that's what I'm referring to.
So who are you picking?
I said
that
Tiger.
Was the question.
I said Tiger because I think Tiger is very close. And I agree with you that it's tougher, you know, from a competitive standpoint, because he has many more great competitors versus Serena, but Serena has to get there. I don't feel that she's close yet because she's just starting her comeback.
So
we'll see.
So are you saying Tiger will win this year? Rock's saying next year, right?
I think he'll win this year. Not only do I think he'll win this year, I think he'll win a major this year.
Yeah, he had Tiger winning the Masters. He had him winning 3 majors this year. I think we got the tape.
We do. We do. Hey, I'm wrong every decade. So, I mean, there's the women's quarterfinals for the French Open. We also have Gurbanguly Muguruza. And she's the only woman to beat both the Williams sisters in a Grand Slam final. And she's playing against Maria Sharapova. And Maria, you know, she won basically everything, and she won the French Open 2 years, 2012 and 2014. So even without Serena, I still think that the French Open should be real entertaining and good tennis to check out. Now, on the man's side, we have Rafael Nadal, who's a 16 Grand Slam title winner. And he's going up against Diego Schwartzman. So that should be a good match to watch as well. And we also have
how many male black tennis players we have?
I only know of one, and I forget his name.
Is it Davis something?
Yeah, I would have to look that up. But on the other side of the, they're playing in the quarterfinals, I believe, and it's Marin Cilic. And he will have a match against Juan Martin Del Porto. And then the other side of the women's as well, we have Simona Halep versus Angelique Kerber for the other side of the quarterfinal that I mentioned. So that's the French Open. So I would like to transition, guys, to Major League Baseball and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Mark, I'm so glad you're here.
I knew you would be glad.
I'm so glad you're here because out of all sports, you know, I love football the most, but I'm more knowledgeable when it comes to baseball, believe it or not. And the Pirates right now are sitting at 30-29, I believe. And they're in fourth place in the National League Central and lost. And I'm going to be polite about this. I'm not even going to go back 15 games because it's worse if I go back 15 games. I'm just going to go back the last 10 games. They lost the last 7 out of 10. On top of that, I had an opportunity to watch the game on Sunday. And Michael Wacha, you know Michael Wacha?
Sure. He threw 8 no-hit innings.
Right-handed pitcher had a no-hitter going into the 9th inning of the game. And Colin Moran spoiled it with a leadoff single in the 9th inning. And the Cardinals won 5-0 to take 3-4 from our Pittsburgh Pirates. So that's one issue. And then you have injury-prone Josh Harrison, who has the flu, I guess. There's always something going on with him. Josh is my boy, too, and I hate to say it that way, but I have to call it the way it is. The same people get hurt. The same people get sick. You know, you're only as good as your availability, and I mentioned that many times before. So I believe he missed his last 3 games, and Adam Frazier has been filling in for him at second base. But Harrison is only hitting, he's doing decent, hitting .271, but he was at .319 just a couple weeks ago. So I'm not sure if he got
sick of hitting.
Yeah, so something is going on. So that's one particular issue. And then you have issues with the pitching. Pitching is falling apart.
The bullpen. I think the starting pitching hasn't been bad.
No, their starting pitching is bad.
No, it hasn't been bad. It's the bullpen's been bad.
Well,
the bullpen's really bad.
If you would check your information, Mr. Major Mark Whitehead, you know, the stats says differently, okay?
I don't agree with you.
You know, the stats says, and if I can look at it here, I think the Pirates are starting pitching. I did have a chance to take a look at it before the show. There's somewhere around 16 starting pitching out of 30 baseball teams, and their bullpen is probably somewhere around 21 as of today. So their pitching is really in bad shape. Matter of fact, I have it right here. The Pirates starting pitching, again, 16, with an ERA of 4.16. And when you take a look at the division, the Cubs are number 2, St. Louis is number 6, and Milwaukee is number 7.
They're in a tough division.
I told you that at the beginning of the year. That's why I told you that they would only win between 65 in 70 games.
Originally, he said 65.
Yeah, okay, whatever. And then
Mark, but he also said that he would give a $500 donation to my junior golf program if the Pirates made the playoffs.
Oh. You know what?
He only said 500.
You know what? Exactly.
You want double that?
Yeah. Make it 1,000.
1,000.
I'll definitely donate $1,000.
If they
make the playoffs, because there's ain't no way that's gonna happen. Okay, so you know, Mr. Whited, what do you have to say about our Pittsburgh Pirates?
Mr. Whited said that they would win at least 76 games, and I'm sticking to that. Simple as that. Their starting pitching is mediocre. You just said it, 16 out of 30. That, you know.
Now you said it wasn't bad, and now they're on mediocre.
Well, it wasn't bad, mediocre. I'll go with either one. It means the same thing.
And it's going to get worse.
They're positioning themselves perfectly to dump six salaries, I think.
Again, I told you this at the beginning of the year. Everything I told you is coming true. So they're on a 9-game West Coast trip right now. They play 3 against the Dodgers. They play 3 against Chicago. They play 3 against Arizona. Now, out of those 3 teams, the Dodgers is struggling right now. They're playing below what they were expected to play at. Okay, so if they wake up during these 3 games, that's going to make it real bad for us, Mr. Whited. So what do you think?
Well, you're not talking about some positives. Austin Meadows.
Very positive.
What's his name?
Joe Musgrove. You want to mention him too?
Yeah, Musgrove, although they're down 3-0 right now.
Well, remember, this is Wednesday, right? So we would have lost by now.
All right. I'm still sticking with 76 games.
Look, what you can't do, you know, we try to have these flash-in-the-pan players and try to get them to perform when they come to Pittsburgh, but you got to look at their whole body of work. Now, Joe Musgrove has been very productive his 2 initial starts. He actually pitched, if I can remember, he went 7 strong for the first 2 games, and his ERA was like 0.64 going into his 3rd game. However, when stuff like that happens, when you get new talent, you have to go back and you have to look at his whole body of work. So I had the opportunity to go back and look at his whole body of work, and it's not pretty. So he's overperforming right now. Okay, he has not had a winning season. I mean, his last 2 years, he was 4-4, like 7-8. So that tells me what he's doing now is just a matter of the other teams not knowing him, not knowing what kind of pitches he has, not knowing how to bat against him. And once they learn him, they're going to blow him up.
I don't agree they're going to blow him up. I think he's going to be now he hasn't even been a starter before. This is the first time he was actually a reliever with the Astros.
Again, flash in the pan. You know, we're trying to get something that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. And that's the Pirates' problem. And then you take a look at our rotation. You know, our rotation is really falling apart. We have Ivan Nova on 10-day disabled list right now. Nick Kingdom has been doing
He's been doing well.
Okay. His ERA
I'd say a little better than okay.
His ERA is 4.03. Yeah, well, you know, that's okay. Not a good ERA.
Nice round mediocre number.
But
Have you been to a game yet, Kev?
I know you're not asking me that. I know you're not asking me that. No, I have not been to a game, and I don't plan to go to a game.
He asked me to a game just the other day, Rock.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, Rock, because I want to talk about the Pirates' attendance. That's dismal as well.
I think part of the problem right now is, and this is what happened to them in 2012 when McCutchen got hit and then they didn't retaliate, they completely folded. Here they had this Rizzo incident last week, and they chose not to retaliate. That's not good for a clubhouse.
Well,
I think there's a little bit of division there.
Well, I think their attitude is, why should we retaliate? We're not even getting paid what we should be getting paid. So it's not even worth it.
What do you mean? According to you, they're even worse than mediocre, so they're probably being overpaid.
Not at all.
Right?
The players in the wrong positions. Again, we need pitching. Okay, we need pitching. And that's where the problem is. When you take a look at the Pirates batting, that's really the strength of the team outside of power. The Pirates are ninth in Major League Baseball. That's pretty good. They're eighth.
Team batting.
They're ninth. And when it comes to runs, they're actually eighth.
Not bad. Yeah.
So when you do an assessment of the team and you look for the weakness of the team, what is it? It's pitching.
I think it's just the bullpen. I think their starters are young and they have potential. The bullpen has been very inconsistent, especially Vasquez.
Okay.
Vasquez is a big, big problem.
So let me ask you
a question. He was about unhittable last year, and he's blown four saves in the last 2 weeks, right?
Okay. You know what? Every time you come in here, I have to educate you. Okay? The first time we had you on at the beginning of the year, when we talked about the bullpen, what did you say about the bullpen?
I thought it was looking better at the time. Yes.
I like our bullpen.
I did like our bullpen.
And Mark, you're crazy.
I'm wrong on the bullpen.
I said you were crazy.
Why was there any reason to think Vasquez would be terrible this year? Well, Rivera, whatever his
name again,
is.
You have to look at these players' bodies of work. Okay, when you have players that...
How do we spend all this time?
When you have players that have not produced for a sustained period of time, they're suspect.
Well, they're young. Yes. Anybody that's young is suspect.
That's implying that players can improve? Is that what you're saying?
When you have a large – and I told Mark this at the beginning. And Rock, I told you. Same thing with Polanco. I said Polanco is a defensive liability. He's a streaky batter. And his head is not always in the game.
I agree with you on all 3 points.
And I could go position by position. Marte, you never know if Marte is going to be available.
But he's been very consistent this year.
Well, he missed some time. He was on a disabled list as well.
A little bit, but he's played solid defense in center field. And
I told you Josh Bell is a beast. Now he's struggling
now. He's been a problem.
What about Gong? Gong?
He was 4-5 the other day.
Is he coming back yet? Is he back?
No, but he's doing well in minor leagues. He was 4-5
He's
yesterday.
Back in country.
Yeah.
He's back in country, which he shouldn't be.
But he is.
And you know, and if you want to talk about double standards and everything, there's no way if he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he would be on the team because the fans would be up in arms with.
If he could catch passes like Antonio Brown, they wouldn't be up in arms. Are you kidding me?
This dude has, I believe, three or four DUIs in his home country, was accused of rape in Chicago. Do you think somebody like that would still be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers would make a way for them to leave town.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, again, the Pirates want to keep him because he was productive at one time on the team. And they're hoping – they're not paying him anything. So they're hoping that – he would come through because they're thinking, hey, we invested in you. It wasn't much. It was probably $5.
Oh, I don't think they had any expectations whatsoever at the beginning of the season that Gong was going to be back. I think this is sort of a bonus. And if he can make it back, the Pirates also have a soft spot for somebody like him because, I don't know if you know it, but Clint Hurdles is a recovering alcoholic. Yeah. And Frank Coonley had an incident. So I think there's a little bit of a soft spot for trying to give somebody like that a chance. Just saying.
Yeah, when they don't have to pay, they always have soft spots. So.
You know what all this conversation means?
What does it mean?
That we're not good this year.
Exactly. But let's talk but about this.
I'm still when sticking
good,
with
76. We're good. You're like, man, we hit the long ball. We do this. But you're not going to be like, well, you know, you might get it.
I'm still
bad.
Sticking with 76 yeah, wins.
You're still down. Sticking with that, Mark.
I'm still sticking with 76
if
wins.
They don't win, if they don't hit 76, are yeah. you going to cover that $1,000 that
no,
have with Rock?
No. I'm not jumping on that. No.
Okay. So let's talk about some teams.
But if they do make the playoffs, I'll throw in 250 on top of your 1,000. At least for a start.
Ooh, there you go, Rob.
So you're up to
there
1,250.
You better be rooting hard for those Pittsburgh Pirates.
I have been. I just haven't been following them.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, some good teams here. You have the Boston Red Sox leading Major League Baseball, 41 wins, 41-19.
One of those teams I don't like.
And the Yankees right behind them, you know, yeah. 38-18. It's yeah. the American League West. Well, they're in the American League East, but then right. you have the American League West. They might be the best division in baseball with Houston over there.
Seattle, the Angels.
Yeah. So they're playing some real good baseball, and had the opportunity to watch a game Monday night, San Francisco. And I know our boy McCutchen is struggling for San Francisco, but they're going to get a boost because Madison Baumgartner is back.
Yeah.
So, just you know, that's the, huge.
I don't think the Giants are going to still in the end do that well this year.
Well, they've been hanging in there. I mean, they're right around, you know, 500. They weren't expected to
They're not
to
quite
do
as
a
good as the Pirates yet, right?
Well, they have more promise.
Okay.
Because
with a bunch of old veterans. See, the Pirates definitely. Have young, at least young promise. Giants are an old team.
Well, they have young promise, and, you know, once that promise shows that it's coming around.
And as you said, a really good pitching staff.
Normally when we decide we need to go ahead and get rid of them. And as I indicated before.
Who did the Pirates draft?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, Rock. First round draft pick, which was the 10th pick, Travis Swaggerty, outfielder from the University of South Alabama.
Not a pitcher.
That's okay. I like that. From what I heard about him, I like this pick.
Well, with baseball, you know, you really
but
have
you never
to
know. Right.
You really have to wait. I mean, it's a long process unless you're just an amazing player.
Well, you see the quarterback for, I think, Oklahoma got drafted.
Number nine.
Ninth pick.
What was his name? You have his name?
I forget his name. Okay. I'm sure you have it.
But the number one pick, I have that one, right-handed pitcher, since you brought up pitching. Casey Mize out of Auburn, widely considered the favorite for the top overall pick for the last several weeks, had a 3.07 ERA. He actually he had 140 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's a flamethrower.
Yeah, in 102 innings and only 10 walks.
Now that's 10 walks there. That's eye-popping there.
So here it is again, Detroit.
How in the world did he have an ERA over 3 then?
I know.
How did that happen?
Makes you wonder, right?
Right.
Makes you wonder.
When they hit him, they must be hitting line shots.
And the 3.07 isn't bad. I always say, you know, between 2.5 and 3.5 is where you want to be from an ERA standpoint.
Right, but when you're striking out that many and hardly walking anybody, yet your ERA is over 3, that's interesting.
All right, fellas, so I'm glad to have all of you here. We're at the end of the show. And again, I would sincerely like to say thanks for filling in. My co-host, Bill Neal, is out of town. And, you know, it's always great to have you in to talk about the NBA and other topics. One thing that I didn't mention, I want to make sure our audience is aware of, we are on Twitter, Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports, as well as tune in your show, Trev, every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Thanks to all of you that listened today, And we'll be right back at you next week.
Soul Tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.